Yelston, we have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast. Welcome to Utopia.
Hey, everybody. Welcome in. It is a recap edition of the Utopia Football Podcast. My name is Sean Pendergast, one half of Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610. Recapping today's 41-21 Texans win over the New England Patriots. We'll do four winners, four losers momentarily, and talk about the significance of this win, especially given what's gone on around the NFL today, and the significance of this win given what's gone on historically with the Houston Texans in New England. Just finished up the post-game show, recording this Sunday evening. You may be listening to this on Monday morning, but a big win today for the Texans, a big landmark for them historically as they get their first win ever at Gillette Stadium. 41-21, the final score. They had not won a game up there in the history of the team. They were 0-7, many of the losses in a blowout fashion. They'd not played a game up there since the opener of the 2018 season. So it's been a few years since they've been up there to actually play the New England Patriots. And the last time they played the Patriots, Deshaun Watson was the starting quarterback for the Houston Texans. In fact, the last time they played the Patriots, Deshaun Watson was opening the season following his rookie year. That's how long it's been since they've played a game up there. Very different look this time around. The Texans go up there as the favorite, and they easily cover the 7-point spread in this game. So it was good to see. I would say the overall feeling after the win was, I think, a little different than the previous four wins this year, where it felt like they allowed teams to hang around. There were certain junctures in this game where the Texans had lulls, but I think that's going to happen in any NFL game. One of the silliest things I hear people say is, well, they haven't played a 60-minute game yet, a full good 60-minute game. Look around the league. Almost no team plays full good 60-minute games. On a regular, no team does. And for the most part, other than games like the Lions today, beating the Cowboys 47-9, or games that are complete blowouts. I'm just using that one as an example because it just ended. But teams have ebbs and flows during games. I was a little nervous at the end of the first half in this one when the Texans allowed the Patriots to go the length of the field in under a minute to score a touchdown with Kayshon Booty getting into the end zone, beating Derek Stingley deep of all things. And they go into the locker room at halftime, the Patriots do, down only 14-7. I thought the key play in this game, the most crucial play in this game, was the Danielle Hunter strip sack fumble on the second offensive play of the half. Because the Patriots went into that halftime only trailing by 7 in a half that the Texans really dominated. They scored on their first two possessions. They had a chance to go up 17-0, and Kyme Fairbairn misses a field goal. And that felt a little to me like when the Texans didn't convert the 4th-and-1 last week against the Bills. That was a kind of a juncture in the first half where the Texans could have taken control of the game fairly early, and they did not. I thought the key play of the game was Danielle Hunter's strip sack fumble, and then two plays later, the Texans putting the ball in the end zone, C.J. Stroud hitting Stephon Diggs in the back of the end zone to go up 21-7 in that game. You could breathe a little bit at that point. The Patriots are a far inferior team talent-wise, but they were at home. It was kind of one of those gloomy October days, and the Texans were doing what they do, which is they look like they're operating at peak efficiency, and then all of a sudden they have a few possessions where they can't get things going. So that was the biggest juncture to me in the game. The Patriots came out with the ball in the second half with a possession and a chance to tie the game and really, I don't know if create doubt, but really kind of gain some confidence on their part and hang around in this game. Danielle Hunter was having none of it. When that dude sacks you, you feel it. Ask Caleb Williams, ask Drake May. But that was a huge, huge sequence in that game. And the Patriots never really got close after that. They got to within 27-14, but then the Texans score and make it 34-14. 41-21, the final score in this game. We'll do four winners, four losers in just a second, but just in terms of laying out the game, Joe Mixon obviously is going to get a ton of mention in the four winners part of this, but having him back again, this is not a great Patriots team, but one of the things they actually do fairly well is defend the run. They were top seven or six in the league, I believe, coming into this game in yards per carry allowed. And the Texans managed to get a bleep ton of yards per carry. I got to pull up the box score here to check and see. I want to make sure I get my numbers right. I know they rushed for 192 yards. The question is, on how many carries did they rush for 192 yards? And that answer would be, I hate ESPN's website, 28 carries, 192 yards. So they averaged almost 7 yards per carry. I know two long runs accounted for 113 of those yards, but they still count. And it's still the Texans who've not been running the ball well. So I'm not going to nitpick as to how they got to the 192. I'm just glad that they did in this game. So they ran the football very well in this game, having Joe Mixon back, a big, huge key, especially with no Nico Collins in this game. Statistical, kind of the fun stat in this game, CJ threw for 192 yards. The running game ran for 192 yards. I think in a perfect world, that's the type of balance you're looking for. I think CJ Stroud would take that every day of the week, even though he's not throwing for 300 in this game. I think he likes winning by 20 more than he likes throwing for 300 yards. I truly believe that. So Texans win this game 5-1. It'll be on to Green Bay next week. We'll talk a little bit about that in just a minute, but let's get to the four winners and four losers of this win in New England. 41-21, the final score. Easy to find four winners, hard to trim it down to only four. I'm going to start with Will Anderson. Will Anderson was incredible in this game. This was his J.J. Watt-type box score breakout game. Granted, it was against one of the worst teams in the league, but you know who J.J. Watt used to pile up stats against? The Jacksonville Jaguars and the Tennessee Titans back in the early part of the 2010s, all the time, if you go look at his game logs. So I'm perfectly cool with this. You don't get to 15, 17, 20 sacks without piling up three or four against bad teams. So Will Anderson, in my mind, took care of that business today. He might be defensive player of the week this week in the AFC. We'll see. I haven't looked at any of the other box scores in any of the other games to see if I'm on target with that. But I love that Will, 3 sacks in this game. Let's see. Will Anderson, 8 tackles, 3 sacks, 4 TFLs, 3 QB hits, and a big pass defended that wound up in the arms of Eric Murray. Credit Eric Murray for making an outstanding catch on that deflection. So Will Anderson, partially responsible for one of the 4 Patriot turnovers as well. He was outstanding. Danielle Hunter was good today as well, made that one big play to start the second half. But Will Anderson, this was an all-pro level performance from Will Anderson, took advantage of a completely dilapidated New England offensive line and was excellent today. So Will Anderson, he is winner number 4. Winner number 3 on the day, I'm going to give it to Stephon Diggs. Texans had no Nico Collins. They needed guys to step up. I would even maybe split it with Diggs and Tank Dell. I thought they did a good job kind of collectively doing things that number one wide receivers do in this game. Probably the only thing they didn't do was catch a deep ball over the top like Nico is capable of doing. But for what they needed to do in this game, they accomplished their purpose. They each scored a touchdown in this game. Stephon Diggs moved the chains multiple times in this football game. They were targeted 16 times. They caught 13 balls for a combined 134 yards and 2 touchdowns. So probably the only thing they didn't do was really stretch the field with a lot of chunk plays, but they did what they needed to do in this game. So I'm giving it to Diggs with a partial sidecar to Tank Dell as far as winners go. But this was, I said this throughout the week on Payne and Pendergast and on the pregame show today, I think the biggest reason you went and got Stephon Diggs wasn't to have Diggs, Dell, and Nico. I think the biggest reason you get Stephon Diggs is so that you're not going into games with only one or none of Nico and Tank. Nico and Tank are injury prone. That thus far, Tank, I know it's a small sample size, but still missed games for multiple reasons last year, including the broken leg to end the season, has already missed a game this year with a chest and rib injury for a smaller guy. Nico now is going to miss at least 4 games, and he misses at least 3 every year. So you get Diggs because you know who doesn't miss games? Stephon Diggs. Dude is tough as nails. And so today was one of those days. I think today was a real validator, honestly, for the entire Texans offseason. The 3 biggest names that they went and got, Stephon Diggs, 6 catches, 77 yards, and a touchdown. Danielle Hunter, game-changing play at the beginning of the second half, and Joe Mixon, who we'll get to in just a second. But Diggs is winner number three. So we got number four, Will Anderson. Number three, Stephon Diggs. Number two, this is just an I'm happy for this guy, and that is Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce had eight carries for 76 yards. 54 of them came on a touchdown scamper to put the game out of reach in the fourth quarter. So on the other seven carries, he only had 22 yards. But man, I was just really happy for Damian to get into the end zone on a long run. And he, it's been a struggle for Damian. This year, it's been more of a struggle medically than system or grasping things or whatever the case may be. But last year, we know he began as the starting tailback, was given every opportunity to remain the starting tailback. And then when he got injured, Devin Singletary took over and never looked back. We love Damian Pierce. One of the most likable guys that you'll find, one of the nicest dudes, one of the best interviews that you'll find. This is purely a personal one for me. I was just really happy to see that guy get into the end zone today on that run. So Damian Pierce, you are winner number two. Winner number one, Joe Mixon. When Joe Mixon plays a full game, he gets you 100 yards on the ground. That's the rule so far. The Texans have played six games. Joe Mixon has played two full games. He got knocked out in that Bears game. The two full games he's played, both over 100-yard games. Today, 13 carries for 102 yards. One of those was a 59-yard long run. He also had a touchdown run that was not a pounded into the line at the goal line. Like, it was a nice long run that he had for a touchdown in this game. Joe Mixon caught a few balls out of the backfield today as well, two catches for 30 yards. So Joe Mixon made a big impact on this game. And while the blocking wasn't perfect for the Texans, it was better. I'll give the offensive line a little sidecar winner here in that they seem to have cut down on the penalties. There were, to my recollection, there were no false start penalties today, no bad holding penalties today for the Texans. Look, as a team, the Texans have done a good job of cleaning things up in the penalty department. After going through those three straight games of 12, 11, and 12 penalties last week, I think they had eight penalties, but they kind of kept it contained to the third quarter. And today, four penalties for 38 yards. So that was good to see. The offensive line has really cleaned things up. The blocking has not been great, but they're not. The offensive line's not making plays or making mistakes, I should say, that are putting the Texans in bad situations down and distance-wise. They could run the ball better. Hopefully they will run the ball better, but getting Mixon back a big step in the right directions. And kudos to the offense as well, 3-for-3 in the red zone. The Texans have been excellent, excellent, excellent in the red zone this season. So lots of flowers on the offensive side of the ball today. I didn't think it was CJ's greatest game, but I thought he was fine. I thought he was a solid B+. His QBR is indicative of that. I think it was in the 70s. His passer rating was over 100. CJ was fine today. He'd probably like to have the interception back. I put that more on him than Dalton Schultz. But CJ, I thought, did a good job. We had him on the post-game show today, and he seemed kind of, I don't know, the mood seemed kind of either tired or relieved, or it's just the fact that CJ never gets too high or gets too low. But it was great having him on the post-game show today. I asked him on there if he had known about the Texans never winning in New England, because I never know how teams handle these things. And he said that that was actually a big emphasis point for DeMeco this week in talking to the team, was the fact that the Texans had never won there. And if you go find DeMeco's locker room celebration video that the team posted on social media, he ended up giving the entire team game balls today because it was the Texans' first win in New England. So I thought that was pretty cool. So those are your winners in my mind. Will Anderson, Stephon Diggs, Damian Pierce, Joe Mixon get high-level mention with honorable mentions for the offensive line, for Tank Dell, as well as C.J. Stroud. Let's get to the losers. And they're not many for the Texans side. It's hard to find them in a 41-21 victory. The one thing I would say, Tommy Townsend, who had a big punt in this game, a 65-yard punt, that I thought swung field position at a really important juncture in the game, but also very inconsistent still. At a point where the Texans needed a big punt in the second half, he not only punted it short, but it had a pitching wedge bounce to it. And instead of pinning the Patriots deep in their own territory, they started with the ball at like the 23-yard line. Tommy Townsend just needs to be a little bit more consistent. He's been one of the better punters, at one point one of the best punters in the league a couple of years ago for the Chiefs. He's been, I would say, kind of underwhelming in the regular season. After having a really good preseason, kind of underwhelming in the regular season for Tommy Townsend. So that's number one. Number three, Dalton Schultz. Not a big game statistically for Dalton Schultz. Had a drop that I think would have been a hard catch. But when you go from being a one-year prove-it guy to being one of the higher-paid tight ends in the league at $12 million a year on a three-year deal, it was a catch that you need to make to extend a drive. Statistically, just there hasn't been a lot to get excited about with Dalton Schultz today. Just four catches for 27 yards with a long catch, with a long of nine. He had eight targets and only caught four balls. His blocking has been very up and down. He's probably catching the most heat of anybody right now among Texan fans based on the text page to our studio following the win today. There were a lot of people that were focused in on Dalton Schultz. Look, I chose not to really focus in on it on the post-game show. I'm so tired of nitpicking wins with this team that if they're going to win by 20, I don't care if they're playing against Pearland High School and they win by 20, only 20. Today, I chose to celebrate, especially when you win in a stadium that you've never won in before. But I get it. For the people who are texting in or calling in about Dalton Schultz, he's been underwhelming this year. The tight end position as a whole, they've not gotten a ton out of that. Cade Stover, decent on the blocking today, but he too had a drop. So I would say maybe one collective notch in the loser column would be the tight end position for the Houston Texans, at least in the passing game today. So that is number three. Number two, I don't know, man. I'm just going to get super petty with number two. Let's do a check-in on Deshaun Watson, shall we? How did he do today? The Browns were 1-4 going into their game against the Eagles in Philadelphia today. And let's see. How did they do? Oh, wow. Lo and behold, the Browns lose again. They're 1-5 this season. 23-16. Well, I'm sure Deshaun had a big game, didn't he? Nope. 16 of 23 for 168. No touchdowns. The only touchdown that the Browns scored was on a blocked field goal. He's a mess. That team is a mess. The only thing that's keeping the city of Cleveland from figuratively sliding into Lake Erie is the fact that the Guardians are in the ALCS against the New York Yankees. So I hope they can take solace in that. I hope that that carries them in Cleveland for the next few days because their football team stinks and their quarterback sucks. And it's really, really fun to watch. Especially considering that Will Anderson had a huge game, and without the Deshaun Watson trade, Will Anderson is not a Houston Texan. I will take it. So there you go. Can't wait to go watch Deshaun's press conference. It's my favorite Sunday night activity after all these shitty losses that they have. So ha-ha to you, Deshaun Watson. Last one, loser, and this is, I don't know, I'm mixed on this one. I can't find a ton of losers for the Texans, so I'm just kind of spitballing about Deshaun and this game. And I would say Robert Kraft's quest for Patriot relevance is a loser right now. I mean, the Texans probably overall brought their B plus game today. You know, it wasn't 60 minutes of football. It wasn't their A game totally, but they were very, very good. And they still won by 20 points. Drake May overall today, I didn't think was bad. If I had to say optimism or pessimism level for Drake May based on just this one start, I would say if I'm a Patriot fan, I'm optimistic. Threw for a bunch of yards, had some really nice throws, a touchdown pass to Kayshon Boutte right before the half that was a dime. That was a really nice throw. But I just watched these Patriot games, and especially maybe it's the fact that they're wearing the old Patriot uniforms from back when they actually did suck on the regular. I lived in New England back then. It's going to be a long climb up for this team, and I love it. I absolutely love it. Boston has been a spoiled city when it comes to championships across all sports over the last 20 years. So to watch all these Patriot fans that thought that they and their team were God's gift to football for the last several years, to watch them get excited and about a struggle to stay within two touchdowns of the Houston Texans, that was fun for me. And you know that the slide into irrelevance, not just in the NFL, but in their own region of the country, is going to kill Robert Kraft. Maybe not literally, although he's at the age where you never know, but maybe not literally, but Robert Kraft's quest for relevance, probably the only good thing that happened for Robert Kraft today was the Cowboys getting their ass kicked, because we know it's been a constant struggle with him and Jerry Jones, and it's got to kill Robert Kraft. Ted Johnson told us this on Friday on Payne and Pendergast. Ted's up in Boston, used to play for the Patriots, played for Robert Kraft, that the quest for relevance versus Jerry Jones, that more people care about the Cowboys, kills Robert Kraft. So that they're this bad right now. I take great pleasure in it. You should as well, if you're listening to this podcast and you're a Texan fan, revel in the fact that the Patriots are sliding into irrelevance, not only in the NFL, but trust me, I lived up there. There's way more people care about the Celtics right now. They care about the Red Sox, even when the Red Sox are Patriot-level shitty up there. And I don't know what the Bruins are doing right now because I don't follow hockey closely enough because we don't have a team here. Me following the NHL, empty calories for my listeners. I'll spend more time bringing you what you need on sports that we actually have in town. Now, if we get an NHL team here, I'll reverse course on that in a second. But it's about there being only 24 hours in a day. Sorry, hockey fans. I love hockey. I love the Hartford Whalers. They don't exist anymore. So that is loser number one. Robert Kraft, Jonathan Kraft, anybody in the building with the Patriots the relevance of the Patriots through those Super Bowl years was their oxygen. You are a loser. You're about to suffocate. You're about to have no oxygen. Not a good thing. All right, so those are my four winners and four losers for this game. I'm about to get out of here. I got to eat some dinner. I'm starving. But big one today. Congratulations to the Texans, 41-21. Thanks to Anthony Irwin, my producer, for getting this podcast out to all of you. Once again, a quick subscribe, rate, and review reminder. Hey, a reminder about the mailbag. What did I tell you? Now is the time to send your emails. We know what this Patriot game looks like. Let's hash it out in the mailbag, HOU mailbag@gmail.com. So we are done until Tuesday, which is when I'll do the mailbag episode. I will see all of you then. Congrats to the Texans on the win. 5-1 on the season. We love this. We'll see all of you later this week. Enjoy the rest of the football this weekend. Have a great day. Thanks for listening.